from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I like the fact that baseball's there with me every night. Baseball's the soundtrack of summer when football is not playing games. We've just wrapped up hoops and hockey. I find it comforting that baseball's always there through the summer nights. I enjoy the fact that it takes the scenic route. Baseball's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Anything can and will happen.
All rise. Here comes the judge. Oh, what a home run.
This ball's got a chance. Gone.
Deep to left center. Way back. Up, up and away.
Not one, not two, not three, but four home runs tonight for Scooter Jeanette.
Baseball gives me a chance to lower my heart rate, sit, put your feet up, enjoy.
Put me in cold.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. Yeah, I can be. So put me in cold.
Truly one of the best sports songs ever performed. It is a song that gets me singing every time and is so closely identified with baseball that is perfect this time of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also this time of the year, post All-Star break, cruising toward the end of July. Seriously, say that out loud. This time next week, we'll be on the cusp of August 1st. So a week to go until baseball's trade deadline. And yet, it's hard to tell who will be selling, who will be buying. I guess we can all sit back, maybe buckle up. I hope there's something to buckle up for and forward the river together. I know, I'm a weirdo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Online, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you can answer tonight's show question that has nothing to do with the baseball trade deadline. In honor of Joe Burrow, who has the best hair in sports? And of course, you can include broadcasters. Right now, I'm going Trevor Lawrence and Asia Wilson. She's got great hair, too. So, either one of our social media sites, phone number 855-212-4227. This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, and standard third-row seating. We're pleased to welcome Rowan Kavner from Los Angeles, and Fox Sports covers Major League Baseball and has a post-up on the website as well as his Twitter, where you can read various answers to the questions I'm about to ask him, though these are all my original questions. So, Rowan, as we get closer to the trade deadline, how would you describe the climate in Major League Baseball right now?
Quiet right now. And I think, you know, usually by this point, you'd see a little bit more movement. And I think that speaks to the fact that you have a lot of teams, especially in the National League, who aren't very good, who are kind of sitting there around 500, a little bit below 500. And, you know, you'd expect there to be a little bit more separation at this point. Now you're starting to see it a little bit. And, you know, in this next week, things are going to kind of present themselves. There's still a lot of these teams who are just kind of sort of on the brink of, am I a buyer? Am I a seller? I imagine there'll be kind of a little bit of both. I think there's a few teams that could really sort of tilt what this trade deadline really looks like. I think the Rays are one of them because they have a ton of pieces, and I know they're at 500, but they're just so far behind in the AL East. It sort of sounds like they might be a seller. And then the other one is the Rangers, who, you know, before this week and maybe the last, you know, couple weeks, you'd say, all right, they're looking like sellers, and now all of a sudden they get hot. And I think that's a team that, coming off a World Series championship, you know, they're going to have any reason to kind of want to go for it still. And I think they've probably found that. So all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's 3 to 5 names from some of these teams that could really change things. And now they go from selling to probably staying still. So there's just not a lot of huge star power that's sure to move.
It's interesting that you mentioned the National League and how many teams are either mediocre or not even. And yet all but, say, 2 teams are within about 5 games of that third wild card if they're not a division leader. Is that enough to keep these franchises from divesting themselves and kind of say, all right, well, there's a potential, so we stay in the race?
Yeah, that's the question, right? And I think you've seen, you know, like the Cubs recently saying, well, you know, we're probably going to look towards selling. And you look at that team, and there's not a lot of obvious, like, rental pieces. I, you know, Cody Bellinger is going to be a name, obviously, that kind of floated around there. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think any team that's going to be at 500 is not really going to want to sell. And I think you see some of the teams that really have pieces. You know, Arizona's kind of started to turn it around a little bit. San Diego's got hot. You know, Pittsburgh's gotten hot. Really, you're looking at just sort of the Cubs and recently the Giants, who are kind of interesting, you know, if guys like Snell or maybe even Chapman could become available just given that slide. But they have such weird contracts that it's hard to really bet on that happening. And even the first base market, right, where we're talking about Pete Alonso and Christian Walker, well, I highly doubt either of those two guys go. And that's where you start looking now at a team like the Rays, who have a Yandy Diaz, who have Paredes, who have some guys who could help. And maybe they just don't want to pay for them in the future.
You mentioned the Rays and the Rangers kind of sitting on it right now and waiting for this next week. But any teams that obviously are looking to make moves?
Sure. Yeah. I think if you're the White Sox or the A's or the Marlins or the Rockies, although the Rockies just tend to, who knows what the heck they want to do half the time. I think those are obviously the teams that have sort of just been in the cellar. I think the Nationals have kind of presented themselves now as a team that's ready to sell. That could be really, really interesting here in the next couple years. The Angels are obviously a team that should be looking to sell, should probably be looking to sell big, but they just never really seem to commit to doing that. And then you kind of look at these interesting teams, the Tigers, who have the best pitcher that possibly maybe could be available in Skubal. I doubt it actually happens, though. I think Flaherty is probably going to be maybe the best rental pitcher that ends up moving. But the Jays are also super interesting. Another team there that should sell, I think, should probably just kind of throw in the towel at this point and look toward the future. They're so far out of contention this year. And I know there's some question as to whether, you know, they're going to deal anything, you know, that could help them potentially in 25 or 26, you know, non-rentals. I think they should. And I think, you know, they obviously could get a ton back for Vladimir Guerrero. It's just, you've had enough belief in them, I think, over the last few years, and they've just not put it together in a way that I think they have to really look themselves in the mirror and say, it might be time to blow this thing up.
Looking ahead to baseball's trade deadline at the end of the month with Rowan Kavner of Fox Sports joining us from L.A. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You mentioned the Angels, so the Mike Trout situation popped into my brain. How hopeful are the Angels now after having to shut him down again?
It's not great. Everyone was kind of talking before the year, oh, would you, you know, be willing to take a trade? Or are you interested? He said, no, I want to win here. I want to win here. And he just can't stay healthy. I would love to be able to say, you know, to see him playing October baseball somewhere and to shut down the rehab and come back. It doesn't look great. Obviously, we got to wait to hear how serious that is. But I just feel for the guy. I mean, he's so good when he's on the field still.
Yes.
And you're concerned that you're just never going to be able to see more than 100 games of that in a season. Hopefully he can, you know, get healthy again, but man, his body is just not cooperating.
Yeah, it is crazy to think we've only ever seen him on the playoff stage one time. All right, getting back to the trade deadline, we talked about it from the seller point of view and how right now everybody's kind of looking around. What about buyers? Who do you expect to be active in pursuing moves that might help them in the second half?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more of those. You could pretty much make the case for probably 20 teams right now. I think, you know, Baltimore needs pitching. I think that's been clear from the start. I expect them to get that. Now, how many top prospects are they willing to deal to really get a guy that could change things, you know, for them in October? I think that kind of remains to be seen. There's just no teams that can put a package together quite like they can. I expect the Dodgers to be shopping at the high end of the starting pitching market, although they're just so banged up. They're going to need help in a lot of different places. You could make the case for the Yankees at a number of different spots. I think for sure they need an infielder. They need bullpen help. The teams that are kind of interesting, just sort of lurking, you know, Cleveland needs to upgrade their starting pitching. Minnesota probably does too. And these are two teams that just aren't really willing to take on a lot of salaries. So you're probably looking at rental pieces there. And the same goes for Milwaukee. You know, I think Fetty is a name that's really interesting for some of these teams who don't want to spend a lot, but maybe want a guy who's still under control next year. I think that's, again, where maybe a Jack Flaherty can kind of slot in. I think Houston needs starting pitching. You could probably make a case for most of these teams needing starting pitching. The Phillies could use some relief help. I think they should probably go get another outfielder. I've always thought that would be a really fun spot for Luis Robert to end up. I don't think that happens, but I do think they probably find some outfield help. Obviously, Atlanta, you know, they're going to try to replicate what happened last time Acuna went down. They're going to just kind of put a bunch of outfield pieces together, I think, and hope they can kind of find something there. And obviously the Mets have been hot. I think they need relief help. So I feel like I've gone through probably 10, 11 teams, and there's probably 10 and 11 more that I could start naming. I think the Pirates are interesting in terms of, you know, with that starting rotation now and just how incredible Skeens has been. If they can just get a little bit of offensive pop, maybe they make some noise there in the Central. And I mean, A.J. Preller with the Padres, you just sort of assume, I know they already got Cease and Arise, but there's just no way he sits on his hands at the deadline. I know they have some financial constraints, but I expect he'll do something probably surprising that we're not talking about.
So other than Jack, where is all this pitching going to come from?
That's a great question. And this is where you have a lot of guys who, if teams are really willing to sell and get rid of guys that are under control for a long time, they could really, really get a lot back. I mean, Crochet is probably the biggest name from the White Sox. He's ARB eligible through 2026. He's had a history of injury, and the bigger thing now is he's already thrown more than twice as many innings as he has in any previous season. So that might be the best arm to go at the deadline, but whoever acquires him is going to have to get creative with how they're going to handle the innings. I think, you know, Mason Miller from a relief standpoint is really interesting. You know, the Athletics just didn't do anything with him. He could end up going from Oakland to Sacramento to Las Vegas and be there through all of it. That's how long he's still under team control for them. But so obviously that could bring back a lot. You know, relievers are also fickle. He also has an injury history. And again, this is where, you know, teams like the Rangers, who all of a sudden they're getting back up to 500. They have a ton of pitchers who could help teams if they wanted to sell. You know, if they wanted to get rid of Eovaldi, if they wanted to get rid of Yates, you know, I think they have guys who could really help. You can make the case for and against on pretty much all these guys. I expect Eflin to maybe get dealt. I don't know that the Rays are going to want to spend that $18 million on him next year, and I think there is a team that could. And then you look at the Cubs, who all of a sudden have kind of gone into sell mode, and I think Taillon is a name that's interesting.
It's funny about the Rangers, because I would think that there would be a little more of that goodwill extending from their first World Series title, and yet you hear the phrases kind of whispered like they're ready to blow it up all of a sudden. But that whole division has scuffled.
You know, playing the White Sox can really change your outlook on the future, and that has maybe been the case this week for Texas, who ran into the right team at the right time to kind of maybe convince themselves that this is maybe worth going for. But yeah, I mean, I think there's three games back right now. I think all those thoughts that they might start selling, you know, it's hard to see that now. Maybe they do a little bit of buying, a little bit of selling. They're a little bit interesting in that, you know, if they do get DeGrom and Malley back, that maybe they could kind of deal from the back end of the rotation to, you know, have a maybe add somewhere else, something like that. But in terms of their big names, you know, Eovaldi was a really popular one, and it's just hard to really think that's going to happen now.
Rowan Kavner is with us from L.A., looking ahead to baseball's trade deadline, where it seems like it's the calm before any potential storm, if there's going to be a storm at all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Any teams out there, any of the front runners who would say, yeah, we're good, we don't need anything, we're happy exactly where we are?
They'll probably say that. I don't know if they necessarily mean that. I think, you know, Minnesota is kind of interesting. I don't know how much they're actually going to do. I think we kind of expected them to do maybe more this offseason. And the Royals are kind of lurking here. I think they really need outfield help. I kind of wonder what we're going to see from them. And then the Red Sox as well, who've just played so well, and not necessarily the last couple of weeks, but just kind of leading up through the start of July. You kind of wondered what side are they going to be on. I would expect them to buy, but I mean, yeah, if you're a team that's ready to contend, that's kind of in this sort of like middling spot, I think you do need to add. If you're over 500, I would expect you to add. I'm looking at, you know, some of these teams that are right around there. I can't see one of these teams that should think I'm just good. You know, I'm good to go. Obviously, Baltimore or the Yankees, you probably could stay pat and you're getting into October, but you need help if you really want to win a World Series.
The Guardians right now are sitting on the most wins in the American League, which is incredible. You mentioned Baltimore and New York, both another win behind them. But still, it's been a lot of fun to see the Guardians after what was last year, maybe an aberration. What's the key to the Guardians playing as well as they are at this point?
Stephen Kwan's been incredible. I think Jose Ramirez is still probably one of the most underrated players, and they've gotten some power from Naylor as well. David Fry was kind of a revelation early in the year. I don't know if the offense is going to, it's like they're 61-40. So this is not a fluke. We are way too far into this to think that they don't, you know, they don't deserve this. And that bullpen, when you have that many arms that can come at a team, that'll always keep you, you know, formidable. So I think the key for them right now, I really think they need to add starting pitching, one, just to kind of take some relief off those relievers, but also just to feel confident about who you're giving the ball to in October. I mean, it's kind of incredible that they've done what they've done with the starting pitching being as mediocre as it's been so far. So they've been great. You know, the top end of those offensive players are great. They could use more lineup depth, but I really think they need to add another starting pitcher.
What are a couple of other storylines or teams that are pleasant surprises or kind of caught you off guard at this point?
Teams were talking about the Royals and Tigers as you know, are they really ready? Are they really ready? And I think they've proven that they are. And the Royals revamped that rotation, Seth Lugo has been incredible. It seems like a lot of those decisions have really worked out. Obviously, Bobby Witt is otherworldly, has just transformed into what he has, which is it's just an incredible player, really, really fun player to watch. I still think they need a little more lineup depth, but that's a team that definitely has surprised me for the better. But look, it's Cleveland and Milwaukee. I think those are the two that we didn't really expect to see this from. And the Brewers, to get rid of Corbin Burns and still perform the way that they are, you know, you look behind Peralta and you go, who is pitching for this team? And they just sort of figure it out. And that offense has been good. It's had enough kind of depth there. And, you know, losing Yelich is obviously a huge blow for them, but a lot of credit for how they've handled things.
How much staying power do the Braves have, consider everything they're navigating right now?
Oof. It just sort of feels like you keep going back to a couple years ago saying that team without Acuna couldn't do it, and they did it, and they still just have so much star power, even with all these guys injured. But I am concerned. I am concerned about that team. Now, all they have to do is get into October, and I think they're still scary, and they should still get to October. I don't think that's going to be a concern. But, man, it just does not seem to be their year right now.
I hope they provide the drama in the National League, and we've talked about it a little bit. But right now, the closest race in the NL is the Central, where the Cardinals are 6 games back of the Brewers. I mean, the Phillies are running away with their division, even though, you know, the Braves are still above 500. And the Dodgers, despite having, what, one pitcher left from their opening day starting rotation, they're also 8 games up. So where's the drama there?
I think the drama will happen in the Central. I think there's, the Brewers have played awesome, but I still think they really need to add some rotation help, and, you know, getting Devin Williams back for the stretch run will be really big for them. But I don't know if that offense can keep it up to this degree. And you're starting to see, you know, Pittsburgh get hot. St. Louis has kind of just been hanging in there. So, you know, if I have to pick between those three, you know, between the East, the Central, and the West, I think the Central could still have some fireworks left in it.
Paul Skeens is this incredible boost for Major League Baseball. After starting the All-Star game for the National League, he comes back on Tuesday night and he pitches into the ninth inning. I know it was a loss to the Cardinals, but right now he's must-watch TV, or he puts butts in the seats. If you're the Pirates, what's the approach, considering their recent history of losing or trading away most of their great young stars?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to just kind of let him go a little bit. You know, a lot of teams are kind of dealing with this. There's a lot of relievers turned starters, and that's obviously not the case here. We're just talking about a young star, but a guy that they want to protect. But you look at other places where, you have these guys who are nearing or past their career or their season highs in innings, and you kind of wonder, what are you going to do with them? And I don't think teams necessarily have the answer. You know, it's like, some of them are going to kind of let them go, maybe cut an inning off where they can, but there's not really, there's a lot of guys who don't want to be shut down and want to keep going. And I think with a guy like that, you cut innings maybe where you can. I know he just pitched into the ninth, but I think, you got to look at how taxed he is from start to start and that sort of thing. But man, you let him go. You ride this guy. That is an incredible piece to be able to build around. And for a team that really, really needs a lot of offensive help, they have a pretty exciting young rotation that should be able to keep them competitive for a lot of years.
And I hope it's not Pirates fans wondering when or for how long they'll be able to see Paul Skeens. Before I let you go, some of the big news coming out of baseball on Wednesday, the Red Sox extend Alex Cora a nice fat contract extension. Why is he the right guy for that franchise?
I mean, I think you're seeing it. I think there's a level of kind of calmness and poise that, when things maybe aren't going so well, he's able to kind of steer them back on track. And, you need good players. You could have the best manager on earth, and if you don't have good players, it's not really going to matter. But I think he's been able to kind of get the best out of them. I think really that whole coaching staff has turned Boston from a team that was, a really disappointing situation this winter, and not really getting the guys that they did not go full throttle as they were kind of promised. And yet here they are, in playoff contention, really kind of making some noise in the AL East. And I think Cora has a lot to do with that. I think what they did really from top down and Bailey and that pitching staff, that it's been really incredible. And, it's interesting. That was kind of the one name in addition to Schumacher who, after this year, you kind of wondered, where's he going to go? Because some team is going to be interested in hiring that guy. And and to Boston's credit, I think they made the right choice in securing him. And there's not going to be quite as many obvious, managerial candidates for some of these teams right now that have disappointed.
Find Rowan Kavner on Twix at RowanKavner. And right now, if you check it out on foxsports.com, he's got, we'll call it a prep, maybe a cliff notes as you get ready for the Major League Baseball trade deadline. It's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Awesome. Had a good time.
Able to treetop a bunch there with different teams that may or may not be active at the deadline. Not a whole lot of sellers, and therein is the issue. And, of course, that's the situation created now. We've seen it the last few years, though we have had, in some cases, flurries of deals right before the deadline. But it's a tough call when your team is 4 games out of a wild card or 3 games out, but you've got 6 other teams that you're battling. How do you know what to do? And remember the Angels last year, so much pressure because they could have traded Shohei Ohtani, potentially received a lot of assets in return for him, but they were close enough that they were within striking distance. And also, you don't want to be the team that trades away Ohtani. So they decided to go all in. The deals they made, there was a pitcher, there was a hitter. Gosh, I feel like within a week, both those guys were, one of them was active but was terrible. The other one was hurt pretty quickly. And that's obviously the luck of the draw, so to speak. You can try. It doesn't mean it's going to work out. But if you don't and you become a seller instead, what signal does that send to your fan base too, which is kind of tough? So it's a tough call to make for teams that are kind of riding that line. And as he points out, in the National League, there are a lot of mediocre or not even mediocre teams, but they're all, so many of them, still in contention, technically. on Twix A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too, we're asking you who has the best hair in sports. We're sharing them on our show account at Amy After Hours, so you can find them there, or you can find them on our Facebook page. The name's starting to come in. It's good to have you with us as we actually get through Wednesday, head forward into Thursday. That sounds like it's almost the end of the week. Uh-huh. I'll be looking forward to it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Who has the best hair in sports? And sure, if you'd like to include some broadcasters, you absolutely can. At A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Some of you feel the need to include photos, which I think is terrific as well. So let me run through a few that you've posted on our Facebook page. I love this answer from Dave, and he does include a pic. Jared Allen from the Cavaliers. Oh, yeah, the hair adds another, say, 3 inches. So they can include that when they list his height. Chuck goes with Camila Cardoso. Yeah, she's got a lot of hair, too. And I got to tell you, her hair is incredible. But I could never play with it down the way that she plays with her hair down. It would drive me insane on my face, my neck, my arms. I don't like to run with my hair down unless I'm wearing a hat, like a winter hat. I really don't like to do anything active with my hair down. So that's why I always have to have it in ponytail length. Let's see. Gerald says Drew Pearson in his prime. Scott gives us a GIF of Kelsey Plum, and that's his choice. Jerome goes with Gritty, the Philly Flyers mascot. All right. Gary, Jaromir Jagr, truth. Sonny goes with Andre Agassi. Yeah, I suppose back then when he was one of the top players in the world, for sure. But maybe not now. I don't think he has any hair now. I think he's gone bald. So he maybe shaved it to prevent the balding. But yeah, hasn't been sporting hair in quite a while. And then Andy says, Sal Fasano, the catching coach of the Atlanta Braves. That's obscure. We're retweeting the others that you share on Twix. Again, at Amy After Hours. Let's see. Jeff says, on the sidelines for Colorado, none other than Warren Sapp and that mohawk.
I'm waiting for one specific player, and I haven't heard it yet, and I'm very surprised.
Current player. You're allowed to share your own answers to
Would
the question.
Would you take any guesses who I'm possibly thinking of? It's a baseball player, plays in the AL East.
A baseball player in the AL East. A current baseball player in the AL East.
Yep.
So not Johnny Damon, who used to be in the AL East.
No, not Johnny Damon.
He had great hair, too. Oh, my gosh. I mean, can you narrow it down a little more?
I would give it away if I knew.
Oh, okay.
That's why I gave you the division. I was kind of hoping
Let me think about it. I'm thinking about it. Because a lot of times they have helmets on, so I'm not really paying attention. Obviously not when they're in the field.
Plays in the infield.
All right. We're going to ask Peeps. I feel like I have an answer, but we're going to ask Peeps on our social, because right now they're yelling at the radio. Do you think?
I at least this is the first person that came to mind for me.
All right. Well, if no one comes up with it, then you can share it as your special answer. So we'll continue to do that. But I have to tell you something. This is why I don't have new toys. Colton was just making fun of me because, he was sort of making fun of me. Veiled attempt. He was smirking at me for my iPod Nano because it is probably 15 years old. And yes, I have Spotify on my phone, but I prefer my iPod Nano when I'm doing longer runs. It's lightweight. It's easy to carry. It fits into a pocket. The phone is a little heavier. It's got thousands of songs on it. Love it. I've already got them in categories. Don't have to do anything to it except press play or press, I guess what I normally do, which is shuffle. I do the shuffle. Anyway, another indicator that I am old school and that I'm alone on my island. I told you I just got rid of my landline in my house, and that was because of Grammy Helen. She couldn't hear me when I was using my cell phone because of her hearing aid, so I always kept a landline for her. And then to do radio interviews, it's actually a lot clearer on landlines, but most people these days now do radio interviews over the internet. So whether it's Zoom or Yard Barker or Google Meet or whatever else, a lot of people, even if it's just audio, they'll end up doing it over the internet. So I finally got rid of the landline. And I also still use headphones with cords. And I prefer them. First of all, we don't have wireless in studio. So my headphones, my earbuds that I wear, they're cords because that's how I plug in. But same thing, when I run, I use headphones with cords. And it's partly because they always fall out. I cannot get the ear pods to stay in my ears. If I move too much or even when I'm running, they fall right out. So I don't use them. But every now and then in my house, if I'm talking on the phone, say I'm cleaning or I'm doing whatever, working, and I get a phone call, I'll answer on the ear pods because I figure I can't lose them this way. They're not going to fall out if I'm not moving like crazy suddenly. Yeah, well, so much for that. I was talking on the phone on Tuesday evening, and I had my arms full. So I'm carrying my coffee in one hand. I have my iced coffee that I drink when I wake up every afternoon. And I've got the rest of my arms, I've got a bunch of stuff clutched to my chest because I'm going upstairs and I'm taking a bunch of things up with me to put them away or whatever else. And I lean over to dump the stuff on the bed, and no joke, the earbud falls out right into my iced coffee. I mean, it was a slam dunk right into my iced coffee. So I'm talking to my mom at the time. I have to quickly put the phone down, or actually the phone was in the pile. So find the phone, put her on speaker, explain to her that the reason why she can't hear me anymore is because I dropped the earbud into the coffee. And then, Colton, I try to get it out. So I drink all my coffee with a straw. I tried to get it out for a good 5 minutes. No joke. I couldn't get it, and I wasn't going to throw out my coffee, so I just left it in there. So finally finished the coffee. Well, I wasn't going to dump out my coffee. I just gotten it.
Sayonara to that AirPod.
Yeah, so I left it in the bottom of the coffee. Oh, these were cheap ones, by the way. They're not. I told you I don't have Apple products, so they're not good ones. Anyway, I left it in there. I finished my coffee maybe 30 minutes later. I was only wearing the right one, by the way, so the left one theoretically should still be working. But I finally, I got it out. Once I finished my coffee, fished it out of the bottom of the glass. It was there with the ice cubes at the bottom. And I dried it off and put it back into the charger. It actually started charging. Now, I don't know if it will still be functional or not, but I do have the left one. But that's why. That's why I don't use them. They're stupid. All I did was bend over to drop some stuff on the bed, and it fell out of my ear right into my coffee.
I have good success with my AirPods, so I can't really complain about them here. I can't join you in this conversation.
No, I'm just saying this is why. This is why I always have cords, because I've never had the corded ones fall out of my ear.
Well, you know there's different types of brands that have Bluetooth wireless headphones, right?
No.
Ones that have like cushions. Yeah, there's different brands.
Brands meaning Samsung has them. Meaning the size is different?
No, they have like a cushion, like the AirPods aren't really like a cushion, like where the headphones I'm using currently, they have like a cushion where it's like, it's not going to fly to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Where the AirPods, yeah, they're good luck to you.
Yeah, well, and again, I don't have AirPods, the Apple ones, but I know my nieces do. And if that's what happens to them, they fall out. Don't you pay a ton of money for those puppies?
You do pay a lot of money for
them. If they fall out into your coffee, then what do you do?
Yeah, yeah, gotta hope to...
Right?
Hope to God they work still.
I just get another cheap pair if I really wanted them. But for now, I still have the left one, so we're good.
That's incredible that somehow the other one started charging. You'll have to let me know how that worked.
It did. All right, I can do that. I haven't tried it yet, but I do have a call set up, a couple calls actually set up for Thursday. So we'll see whether or not they still work.
I figured out on my AirPods that the talking while having my AirPods, it's awful. I heard the audio is bad because I do like social media stuff. So like I'll be doing like a Twitter space. And I'll be doing it with someone like, I don't hear you great. I'm like, what do you mean you don't hear me great? And then I take it off the AirPods and they hear me great. I'm like, mm-hmm. All right, well, what's the point of AirPods?
Yeah.
Is this where I can talk and it sounds normal? No, it sounds awful.
Well, how many people I have talked to over the last few years who would like to do conversations, whether it be I'm joining their radio show or whether an interview of some sort, every now and then we tape them and they want to do them on their AirPods. And I'm telling them the sound is not good. It's better if you just hold the phone. And I suppose if you don't care what you sound like, but I always try to encourage them to get off of the AirPods. First of all, there's usually an echo when it comes to the radio equipment, but also it's not as clear as when you just hold the phone in your hand.
So, yeah, it's awful.
Old school. I asked them to old school hold the phone in their hand. Okay, so I have the name in mind of the AL East player that I was going to guess for Colton. I think we're hearing it. I think we're seeing it now from other people. But we'll keep the suspense up a little bit more. Rob on Twix goes with Grant Holmes. Long, curly hair, relief pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. Who has the best hair in sports? And you can include broadcasters, too. Let's see. Al says Dean Kramer of the Orioles. But there's another. There's another for the Orioles. I don't think mythical characters count, like Crash Davis. I don't think that counts. But you can certainly send in your particular answers, whether past or present, at A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, too. But I like this one from Robert on our Facebook page. Sam Hartman, his 40-yard dash with the locks flowing was the best showing at the NFL Combine this year. Let's see. David goes with the Astros' Josh Hader and the Mariners' Ryan Stanek. Let's see. Mike goes with Kyle Petty. Brian says, if we're going past or present, I've got to pick Brian Bosworth. He had it going on. And man, the number of you that are guessing Troy Polamalu, not guessing, sorry, the number of you who are pointing to Troy Polamalu, that's kind of an easy one, I'll tell you. Nobody ever had hair like Troy. Ben shares a GIF of Michael Jordan. I could be wrong. I don't remember Mike with hair. Maybe when he was in college. But for the most part, he was always sporting the very shiny dome. But if that's what floats your boat, I like it. Way to think outside the box. Reggie goes with Bianca Belair from the WWE. I am unfamiliar with her hair. I will have to look it up. Who's got the best hair in sports? That, my friends, is our question after hours with Amy Lawrence. So at A-Law Radio, and we're retweeting from our show account, or you can answer on our Facebook page. Hey, did you all see the story of the drone cheating at the Olympics? It's already started, and this is where technology really becomes divisive slash even more challenging to police than you would expect. So some of the soccer / football has already started. And the very first day, there is a women's... So this is Canada, who's the reigning champion. There's a women's staffer of the Canadian soccer team, women's soccer team, that is caught flying a drone over another game or a practice. I have to go back and look at the teams. I don't remember which team it was. It was a, okay, thank you. Training session. So it was a practice. And it blows me away that you could be so overt, number one, as if no one recognizes drones or can hear or see drones anymore. But the fact that the reigning Olympic champions were using a drone to spy on an opponent, that's nutso. And so if you if you want to, you can look it up. But it was a drone that was recording, who are you, Bill Belichick? New Zealand training sessions. That New England was a slip of the tongue. And so now FIFA is investigating. But as you can imagine, the soccer team itself is all up in arms and in turmoil. Two members of the women's staff have been sent home immediately, and their head coach has been suspended for the opener between Canada and New Zealand. And that comes up on Thursday. I don't know what it means to be a non-accredited member of the Canada support team. Again, I have no idea what that means. But a non-accredited member of the Canada soccer support team has been detained by French authorities. Oh my gosh, you've been there, what, 3 hours? You've already been arrested for improperly using a drone. And this follows them finding out that a drone was used to record New Zealand's training sessions. Now, the head coach is Bev Priestman, same head coach that led them to the gold in Tokyo in 21, denying any involvement, but she's saying she'll voluntarily, quote unquote, sit out this first game against New Zealand just in case there's any suspicion. First of all, does that mean you don't believe you're good enough on merit to be able to defend your goal? But also, a drone? Could you be more overt than a drone? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.